This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Put a smile on your face. Life is good. I mean, not if you're this Texas National Guardsman. He's in a lot of trouble. But other than that, life is good. We'll talk about that this hour. We have asked Dr. Jesse questions on quitting your job. Someone wants to know something about Zelensky. What's going on there? Is he going to get overthrown? A little World War I talk. Man, we are all over the place this hour on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. I just want to touch on this briefly. A Texas National Guardsman got caught. He got caught smuggling an illegal into the country. Ends up high-speed pursuit, so it's bad. Now, I only brought up this story to say this. There's so much money involved in drugs and people. There just are. Human smuggling, slavery, let's be honest. We're talking about the slave trade. That's a slave trade going on right now in the South. There's a huge amount of money in slaves. Always has been, always will be. One of those really ugly sides of humanity. People are worth a lot of money. Why did those Romans get so rich from all those foreign conquests? It wasn't just that they found large pots of gold. They found large quantities of people. People were the ultimate currency to be sold. Whenever you're in a situation where large amounts of money are changing hands, illicit money, it's going to become more the norm where good guys get corrupted by it. I've told you before, I lived down in Tucson. That's where I ran for Congress a couple of times. And there was a story, I don't think it was from that area. I won't go into the details of where it was from, but they busted a guy at Border Patrol. They busted a guy because the cartels were running him women every now and then when he was on post in the middle of the night. And the deal was, hey, here's your girl for the night. You're also not going to patrol this area because we got some things coming through. And he ended up getting busted for all that. Now, I'm not saying that's the norm. It's definitely not on Border Patrol, but it happens. It happens. It's ugly. It's the ugly side of life. It's how it goes. But just know, whenever you have huge quantities of money changing hands, some of the good guys are going to get corrupted. It just is. And also remember, putting the National Guard on the border permanently is not a solution. Now, a lot of our National Guard units are hardened combat units by this time because of the time they had to spend in Iraq and Afghanistan. These guys did some real trigger pulling over there. So the day where the National Guard was just kind of, you know, some accountant who's about 300 pounds and he doesn't know his way around a gun, but he knows his way around a ham sandwich, those days are gone. Yeah, there are still some guard units like that, don't get me wrong, but still, you can't put American troops on the border forever. And you shouldn't have to. That's what the Border Patrol's job is. You should have more Border Patrol agents and give them what they need. But that would be if you lived in a country that actually wanted to secure the border. It's very obvious we don't. We don't have any desire to do that. So on and on we go. All right, let's get to some Ask Dr. Jesse questions after I play this little tidbit. This audio bit's been going around. Maybe you've heard of it. There's a professor. His name's Richard Dawkins. He's an atheist. And that made it interesting that he had this to say.
Well, I must say I was slightly horrified to hear that Ramadan is being promoted instead. I do think that we are culturally a Christian country. I call myself a cultural Christian. I'm not a believer. But there's a distinction between being a believing Christian and being a cultural Christian. And so, you know, I love hymns and Christmas carols. And I sort of feel at home in the Christian ethos. I feel that we are a Christian country in that sense. It's true that statistically the number of people who actually believe in Christianity is going down, and I'm happy with that. But I would not be happy if, for example, we lost all our cathedrals and our beautiful parish churches. So I count myself a cultural Christian. I think it would matter if we, certainly if we substituted any alternative religion, that would be truly dreadful.
What an odd way of thinking. Don't you find that odd? What an odd way of thinking. Whatever, I'm done trying to understand some of these people. Jesse, I worked on the business side in pro sports the past 10 years, and I recently resigned. Lifestyle was amazing, travel, prestige, money. But as time went on, especially after the summer of 2020, things continued to be difficult. I had to embrace DEI, full staff racial counseling, forced vaccine, masking, so on and so forth. I missed the money and excitement, but I felt like a sellout with all we were doing, and eventually I couldn't take it anymore. Now I'm with my dime in a smaller town, raising a baby and having another in a few weeks. Sometimes I think, with all I walked away from, I should have just kept my head down and dealt with it, which I know many do. Okay, let's have this talk, because we've had this talk before on the show, especially when all that vaccine mandate stuff was coming down. We had so many emails to the show. What should I do? What should I do? What should I stay? Should I stay? Should I go? What do I do? And I am going to continue to do what I've always done, or I should say continue to not do what I've always not done. That doesn't make any sense. You'll understand in a minute. I've never once told you to leave your job, have I? I can't tell you that. We have priorities in life. And honestly, my family, providing for them is a top priority of mine. Now, I don't feel the obligation to provide them with wealth and riches and all kinds of things like that, but I need to keep a roof over their head. I have to keep food in their bellies. I got to keep clothes on their back. I have an obligation as a man to provide for my wife and kids. Period. End of story. It's not negotiable. And I will do and have done many, many, many things in order to make that happen, including many things I did not necessarily enjoy at all. I've had many jobs I've hated, it even in my adult life. And I still went to work every single day because my wife had needed food and my kids needed too. And we got to pay the rent. And so I've never told you to leave your job. And I'm not telling you that now. I wouldn't tell you that. I will simply say this. Big corporate America, Fortune 500 corporate America, is being slowly but surely taken over by the bad guys. You see it everywhere. You know it. Look, you got trannies on your Bud Light cans. You know it. Fortune 500 big company America is almost all filth. You can stay there. Maybe you've built an amazing career there, and I'm not telling you to leave it. You can stay there, but you have got to stay there with the understanding that you're not going to be on board with the mission anymore. You're not. You're going to have to withstand a lot of emails, a lot of meetings, a lot of Whitey sucks, a lot of we need this country, this company gayer. A lot of you're going to have to withstand a lot of that. And I will say, I've done a lot of flying around and traveling for work, whether it's construction or in this job, I have to travel. And when I travel for this job, I will tell you, it is more glamorous, certainly more glamorous than driving to a mining town in construction and staying in a little crappy hotel. When I have to travel for this job, like if the suits say, hey, come to New York, come to Nashville or something like that, they are going to fly me first class, and they're going to put me up in a nice hotel room, and they're going to take me out to a nice dinner. Not even Red Lobster. Nicer than that, if you can believe that. And so, okay, I got that fancy side of travel, and you know what? I'd always still rather be home. I'd rather be in my house, my bed, my family. And I like my fancy meals. Don't get me wrong. I like a steak. I enjoy a steak or some little fancy Italian place where they're lighting cheese on fire in front of you and all that other stuff. But give me my couch and a bowl of Kraft mac and cheese and I'm a happy man. After a while, I think, I don't know if it's an age thing or what it is. After a while, it's not that that stuff ceases becoming cool. It's just not near as cool as it used to sound when you were a kid. That's a little bit insulting. When you were younger, it's not near as cool as it used to sound. For me, like I would love a job in pro sports or back in the day, like this guy had some cool pro sports job. You're always traveling. Maybe you're in NASCAR. He didn't specify. Maybe it was the NFL or something like that, and cheering crowds and oh my gosh, look at the players and fun. It's great and the restaurants and this and that. I have a feeling this same gentleman will be emailing me before too long, treasuring his life in a smaller town with his dime, his two babies. Hopefully he's going to make a whole bunch more of them. That life, it gets less appealing as you get older, and it's even less appealing now that corporate America sucks so bad. And that's kind of a weird place to be, but that's where we are. All right, let's talk about Zelensky. Is he about to be overturned? You want to do a little history? Maybe a little World War I history? Oh, looks like a Haitian murdered somebody in New York. Let's talk about that and all kinds of other stuff. Before we do that, let's talk on our Pure Talk phones. And we know when we pick up our Pure Talk phones and we text somebody or we call somebody, we know it's going to go through. Why? Well, when you switch to Pure Talk, you're still on the same great 5G network as the big guys. It's not some bargain basement piece of crap cell phone company. It's the same service, the identical same service. You can keep your phone if you want. Keep your phone number. It's fine. Pure Talk handles it all, and they handle it all with ease. These are Americans. They hire Americans who speak English. 10 minutes on the phone. You can have the same phone number, same phone service, pay half and support a company that shares your values. Why wouldn't you switch to Pure Talk? Right now, when you switch, you save an additional 50% off your first month. That's on top of everything else. So pick up that cell phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't forget, we are live. You can still email us love, hate, death threats, Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Email those into Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. This is from Unusual Wales. Olive Garden and Longhorn Steakhouse have reported last week that households with incomes above $150,000 had more transactions at its restaurants in the most recent quarter than a year ago, whereas transactions among those making less than $50,000 fell. How do they know all that? Do people put their salaries on the receipts? But look, I know the answer to the question, and it's really bad. It's really creepy. Credit card data. These companies, they sell your data. These dirty companies bet data, your data. We've talked about this a lot. I'm not going to go into a bunch of details on it. I have other stuff I want to get to, but We don't think about it this way, but what you are, you're a sale. I want you to think about yourself this way. Not for your view of yourself, but how corporate America looks at you. And I'm not bad-mouthing corporate America. They got to make money too. You know, businesses got to make money. But what you are, you're a walking sale. You buy things. You buy goods. You buy services. Whatever those things may be. Me, I'm a walking sale. What kind of a sale am I? Well, delicious food. You ever see those ads that kind of pop up on various websites? The ads that kind of get filled in on the side. You know those are customized to you, for you. They're customized based on your search history. My wife laughs if she ever looks when I'm on the computer. All my pop-up ads are food, every single one of them. I don't have another pop-up ad for anything else. It's all food. And I'll always hit her up with a, hey, did you see they're opening up another crawfish restaurant here in the neighborhood? And she rolls her eyes, look at something else on the internet. Oh my gosh, it's that. I'm a sale. If you're opening a restaurant, a food truck, you've got a food product, you want to find a way to get your ad in front of my eyeballs. Because if I see it, I will probably buy something. I am a walking sale. For my wife, weird health food, freak stuff. If you have, you know, I don't know, some Brussels sprouts that are the organic and made in Mars without preservatives or something. I don't know what these weird freaks like her eat, but that's the kind of ad she would get. Your data is valuable. Here's another example of this. You ever get an email, a political email or a political text you didn't sign up for? From some politician you don't support or don't know? Ever happened to you? Of course it has. Happens to all of us. Happens to me all the time. Why? How'd they get your cell phone number? How'd they get your email? Well, someone else got your email. You gave it to them. You didn't read the fine print because none of us do. I don't either. And that someone you gave your email address to has now an email list. And they sell that email list to other people. I know because I had offers to sell my email list after I got done running for Congress. I had all these emails of people who'd signed up for the website and donated and whatnot. And I got an offer to sell my list. I didn't. It felt dirty. It felt really wrong. So I didn't do it. But the offer was out there. And there were many. I would have been able to sell it many times. You should know. Hey, this congressman, he's running here. He wants this. I don't know how much it was, Chris. I don't know. But I know it's worth a lot. It obviously depends on the size of the list. But it makes sense. If I just ran for Congress in Southern Arizona as a Republican, and my email list is going to consist of people who support Republicans, and let's say some guy's running for city council in Southern Arizona somewhere, my list is critically valuable for him because I have already curated a list of people who support Republican candidates. It's worth something to him. Your data, my data, is valuable. No matter your income, no matter... You buy things. You buy goods. You buy services. And Chris is all over this. He's obsessed with this stuff more so than I am. Oh, yes, you are, Chris. Don't act like you aren't. Chris is obsessed with this stuff more so than I am. But as much as this pains me to say it, he's right. If I ever do something and I try to be secure about that stuff, but if I ever do something and Chris says, what? They're going to steal that or they're going to know that. He's right every single time. These people harvest your data and they sell it. Remember something. You are a product. You are a mark, I guess I should say. You are a mark and they're all trying to sell you something. All right? All right. I didn't get to Zelensky. I'm going to get to Zelensky and some World War I stuff. Let's do this. Before we do anything else, I want you to not be paranoid about that data stuff. This is why I say this. It's not that I don't want you to be aware or I don't want you to take steps to protect yourself. I do. Faraday bags and all that. I want you to do that stuff. But these people have so many ways to access your stuff that you can't possibly defend all of them. And if you sit around and dwell on the fact that they know your name, they know your address, they know your favorite color, they know you shopped for boots last night, they know what kind of toothpaste you buy at the grocery store. you can really get to a point. I'm saying this because I've gotten myself to that point once or twice before. You can really freak yourself out about the fact that these people, they really are watching at all times. They are watching. They are gathering your data. In fact, there's an interesting little tidbit that I'm going to tell you about the power grid and how it pertains to this. You want a little tidbit? I'll give you a little tidbit. Hang on. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Someone wants to know what I think Dems are going to do if Trump wins. I'll actually discuss that in a little bit. Before I get to that, let's get to some other stuff first. Hey, Jesse, you got me thinking about World War I lately. Much like you, I'm fascinated by history and the many lessons we can learn from it. I have a question I'm almost ashamed to ask. However, here goes. Why didn't each side just lob artillery over and over again at the opposing side's trenches, much like shooting hoops? Yes, you will come up short or long quite often, but didn't they have spotters back then to adjust fire? I need a Howard Dean, please, sir, if you will. It makes me laugh. Okay, why didn't they just lob artillery shells at the trenches? Well, they did. Understand, artillery is indirect fire. And obviously, you're not an idiot. You know what that means. You're not shooting it straight at something. You're lobbing it up. You're oftentimes, almost always with artillery, you can't even see what you're shooting at. You're too far away. You're lobbing at something at an angle, okay? You're at an angle. They were shooting at the trenches. However, even if you get lucky, and they oftentimes did, there are a million horrible World War I stories about guys stacked up in the trenches, sitting there, either they're shooting or eating or sleeping or whatever, and in comes an artillery round. It lands right there, and then your mom's burying your dog tags. It's really, really ugly situation. However, you can't kill enough men that way and get lucky enough times. Remember, there are, when you look at the numbers of how many artillery shells are fired in this battle or this war, you can actually look at Russia-Ukraine right now and look at the number of artillery shells. The numbers are huge and they're staggering. Like, you look at a World War I battle and there'll be a battle that there someone lobbed a million shells, a million? That's a crazy number, right? But they're not unlimited. You only have the resources you have. We don't discuss enough the fact that economies build militaries. It's economies that build militaries. You have a strong economy, you will be able to create a strong military. If you do not have a strong economy, you can have the toughest guys in the world. Your military, it's just not going to be what it could be. You can't afford the training, the bombs, the bullets, the planes, the artillery. You can't afford the things wealthier people can afford. It is your economy that drives the military, and you are stuck with the materials you have on hand. Artillery shells are not endless. May I point you towards the United States of America? We shoot 155s. Lots of the world shoots 155s now. It's the size of artillery shell, Chris. It's a size that they've really fallen in love with. Many militaries have fallen in love with that size of shell. There are many bigger shells, don't get me wrong, have been huge ones throughout history. I mean, speaking of World War I, there were shells that were the size of cars. And in fact, the naval gunfire, for instance, they still shoot shells the size of cars on some of those ships. But for standing armies, many armies around the world, not just ours, have fallen in love with 155. Did you know we don't have any? Or we don't have many, I should say. We're running out. We keep sending all of our 155s overseas, and we not only don't have many, we don't have the ability to produce more. This is something that I've been warning about. You've heard me on the show a million times warn about it. It's not sexy. It's not something you can get the general public to care about at all. But our wartime economy, I'm going to call it a wartime economy, it's bad. What am I talking about with wartime economy? In World War II, why were we able to do the things we were able to do? We were able to do those things, make a Navy, make an Air Force, make all these things. I know it was pre-Air Force, but do all that stuff. We were able to do that because we had this huge manufacturing sector, and because the climate change nut jobs hadn't destroyed our procurement of natural resources, we essentially had endless supplies of bombs and bullets and planes and tanks and everything else. We were able to turn to our manufacturing sector and say, hey, Ford, no more Model Ts right now, please. In fact, get us some tanks. Shermans, if you don't mind. And they did. Well, you can do that when you have the factory there to make them. When that factory is in Mexico or China, you can't do that anymore. We don't have the ability to produce World War II levels of bombs and bullets and planes and tanks right now. It's not humanly possible. All right, I realize I skipped over something that I need to come back to before I move on to the questions. I teased something about a power grid, and I forgot to get back to it. Here's a little power grid tidbit for you, because we were talking about data and how important your data is, and your data this and data that. Did you know that our power grids are under a lot of strain right now, and that strain is going to get much worse? Why? Data centers. Your data, and this is difficult for me to understand. Jewish producer Chris probably gets it better than I do. Chris and Michael probably both do. I'm too old to understand this, but your data, it's not just in the air. Someone holds it physically somewhere. Your data has to be physically held, and they are collecting mass quantities of it. Data centers are being built all over the planet. We'll just make it about America right now. But they're being built everywhere. Gigantic places to store your data. I think Google's building boats where they're storing your data. Your data needs a place to land. It needs a place to stay. Well, the thing about these data centers are, surprise, surprise, they're heavily electronic. They use gargantuan amounts of power, and they're sucking the power grid dry. So we're in an era where big data, they're building these huge data centers, sucking your power grid dry. At the same time, the green nut jobs are making sure we have less and less power. Wild to think about, isn't it? But it's where we're at. Dr. Jesse, how long before President Zelensky is overthrown by people wanting to end the fighting? He's reducing the draft age and tracking men at 17 to crack down on Dodgers. Are they waiting for more U.S. funding before they act? Okay, listen, I don't know when the coup is going to come or if there's going to be a coup over there in Ukraine, but I do know that it is so incredibly sad where we are. I won't go over the whole history of it, and I don't know every detail, but I do know this. Initially in the conflict, Russia, when they invaded, as Russia almost always does, they were really embarrassing in the beginning. Russia has always been like this. In the very beginning, they're embarrassing. And then they just throw men at it and throw men at it and throw men at it, and they learn. And by the end, they're really, really good. In World War II, the Russian army, the Soviet army, was embarrassing in the beginning. The Nazis were beating the living crap out of their armies every time they fought. By the end, with all due respect to my own nation, by the end, the Red Army was probably the finest army in the world. They were amazing, an incredible army, huge amounts of experience. They knew exactly what they were doing. They knew how to do it. In the very beginning of this Ukraine war, there were a couple opportunities for the Ukrainians to possibly run the Russians out. They missed those opportunities, and now the Russians are not leaving. It's just a matter of time. There is no victory to be had for Ukraine. It's not possible. It's just a matter of time. And in the meantime, how many Ukrainian men are going to die? And Russian men, honestly. Generations of young men gone again. It friggin' makes me sad. Anyway, let's do something a little more pro-life before we talk about the Haitian illegal murdering people in his apartment. We get to other Ask Dr. Jesse questions and whatnot. Let's talk about preborn for a moment. Let's talk about babies. You know, they can't defend themselves. That's what's so uniquely heartbreaking about abortion. It is alive. It is a baby. And they are completely powerless. Unless someone steps in to help them, they're in trouble. I love that that's how preborn views themselves, as the protectors of the unborn. That's how I try to view myself as much as I can be. Preborn saves thousands of babies. Do you know that last year alone, preborn saved over 58,000 lives? That's what you and preborn did last year. Go give the gift of ultrasound to a young mother before she makes that terrible choice. $28 buys her that ultrasound. Go give what you can. Give as much as you can. It's all tax deductible. Go to preborn.com/Jesse and give. Preborn.com/Jesse. We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Don't worry, we still have more than an hour left of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. You see this Haitian dude in New York? He fatally stabbed two of his roommates in his apartment. And I'm not going to go into that horrible crime. They were from Haiti too, and whatever. We're not going to go into it, but let me ask you something. Serious question. What are the limits on a last meal request for people in death row? No, what, Chris? Hear me out. What if this dude decides to request the roommates he just stabbed as his last meal? Chris is from Haiti, okay? They're eating people. I've seen it on video over there. What if he just asks for a thigh or something? You don't know. I mean, I don't know. Either way, I feel like America's super enriched by these people, and I'm glad we're letting them all in. Hey, Jesse, what will the communists do between November and January if Trump wins? All right. I don't know. But here's what I think you should plan on. Mentally and emotionally, you need to prepare yourself for this, okay? If Donald Trump is able to pull it off in November, and I don't give a crap what the polls say, that's the biggest if in the world, the way these dirty people operate. But if he is able to do so, it does look like he's going to avoid prison time, which is unbelievably good, and I didn't see that coming. Thank you, Fannie Willis, for your love of Nathan Wade, because if it wasn't for that, we'd have been in deep trouble. So Fannie Willis helped us out. Supreme Court helped us. We got a bunch of wins that are probably going to keep him out of prison before the election. Now, if he loses the election, he's going to prison. That's really friggin' bad. But I don't think the timeline is going to work anymore now that the Fannie Willis case blew up. Okay, so set that aside. Let's say he does win in November and gets elected. You and I, we need to mentally and emotionally prepare ourselves for a response like we've never seen. Remember, you're dealing with communists. You're dealing with people completely without shame. Yes, I know. Democrats have denied the validity of every election for the past 20 years. It's all on video. Shut up. Don't argue with me, liberal Aunt Peggy. It is on video. Hillary did. They all did. Stacey Abrams. They cheated. It was the Russians. They cheated. It was the Russians. Okay. All right. Fine. They're preparing to take this thing to the courts. They're already writing articles about the preparations Biden is making to take this thing into the courts. There will immediately be legal challenges like you've never seen before. It'll make that Bush Gore thing from Florida, it'll make that look like child's play, what they will do if Trump wins in November. That's one. Two, you remember how the desire was, speaking of January 6th, the desire was, one of the main themes behind that was, don't certify the election. Hey, they cheated. Don't certify the election. That was one of the main pushes from Republicans. Hey, don't vote to certify the election. Don't vote to certify the election. And what was the reason the Republicans gave back? Well, you got to certify the election. What do you mean, don't certify the election? Of course you need to certify the election. Kind of that, well, we've always certified the election. We have an obligation to certify the election. That was the way of thinking in the Republican Party. Democrats will not have that way of thinking. I can 1,000% see. Ha ha ha. I said it, Chris. I can 1,000% see Democrats not certifying the election. Now, what does that mean? Where do we go from there? Oh, I don't know. But I continue to try to explain to the normies and norms on the right, not you, I know you know this by now, but what's going to happen in the future, what our country, what our economy, what our elections, what our culture, what all these things look like over the next 20, 30, 40 years, they are not going to look like they did the last 20 or 30 or 40 years. We've had this long period of time in America where everything was fairly normal and fairly consistent, where you could count on this and you could count on that. We're in a whole different era now, Jack. These communists have been probing our lines for a while now, and they've loved what they've seen. Hey, what can we do? What can we get away with? What will Republicans allow us to do before they hit back? And their answer is a lot. And look, there's no better example of this than Bill Barr. Remember, Barack Obama, he spied on Donald Trump's presidential campaign using the FBI and the CIA. That is the most egregious crime you could probably put on a president. It would probably be less egregious if Barack Obama had pulled out a gun and shot someone in the face on national television. That would probably be less of a bad crime than using the law enforcement and intelligence agencies against your political opponent. That is a horrific crime, a nation-ending type crime. And after he did that, Bill Barr, when he took over the job for the useless AG before him, Bill Barr bragged at the podium that he was not going to allow any kind of a tit for tat. We're not going to attack Democrats using our office. And then what happened after that? Donald Trump lost the election. Joe Biden took over. Joe Biden's FBI has attacked everyone from the person who had his daughter's diary to pro-lifers to Joe Biden's DOJ. They didn't miss a beat. They had the FBI working up counterterrorism files on angry school board moms. Democrats did not look at Bill Barr's wonderful example of, well, there's not going to be a tit for tat. They didn't look at his example and say, wow, you know what? That is the right way of doing things. Look, we should do things that way. They laugh about that stuff. It's a joke to them watching Republicans try to do things the right way. These people are savages. What will they do? Man, I have told you before. These polls keep looking like this. With Joe Biden down, I have tremendous concerns about what they might do before November. If they don't think they can throw Donald Trump in prison, which they were banking on, and if they don't think they can beat him at the ballot box, I have grave concerns. Ah, Jesse, that's stupid. That's over the top. Open up a history book for me one time, please. That's the whole history of the world. That's how communists operate. It's how evil people operate, evil governments. Anyway, let's move on from that. Someone wants to talk about Joe Biden, Afghanistan, Israel. He wants to make a comparison between Afghanistan and Israel. We'll talk about that. In fact, there's a couple of different emails on that, the Israel stuff. We're going to talk a little bit more about Dome. Why can't the GOP, why won't the GOP split up these huge bills? We're going to talk about your dog. Why don't you give rough greens to your dog? It's really important that you give rough greens to your dog. Listen, your dog doesn't get nutrition from dog food. This is the real crime in it. We think we are giving them nutrition. We genuinely believe we're helping our dogs out. We buy them the special blend, don't we? Oh, he likes this one. Oh, this one's got extra. It doesn't have extra anything. It's all brown because it's all dead. I don't care what special blend you give them. Your dog doesn't get vitamins and minerals and omega oils and antioxidants and everything. Your dog never gets those, ever, unless you pour rough greens on your dog's food. All natural nutritional supplement. Pour it on your dog's food. Your dog will be healthier. Your dog will live longer. You will see physical differences in your dog. Digestion and joints, low energy, dog breath. You will see the difference. Free Jumpstart trial bags. 833-33-MY-DOG. Or you could go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.